It's because I have such a big ass dick.
We should appreciate you because someone's going to murder you pretty soon.
If you don't jerk off, like, it's not like it, like, buckets of it get stored.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast, episode 170 of the show. So very stoked you guys could make it. So happy that you guys listen every week. Really makes me happy. One thing I just realized that I forgot to reach out to our iTunes review contest winner, K-Mac Text. I don't know if you guys recall last week, but it sounded like he was sort of trying to give up his crown, and we're not going to let him do that. So I promise I will reach out to him this week. Hopefully we'll have him on the show next week so he can come in and claim his title, the Roast the Host's title. Even though we're not running a contest, that's still something you can do. If you go to iTunes, somebody reached out to me this week on Twitter and let me know they left a review. So, you know, don't be afraid. You don't have to, like, be trying to win something. Just go there. Just do it for us. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes and, you know, let us, you can roast us. You can say whatever you want. Say anything you want on iTunes about us. Just leave a review there, please. Joining me now, as always, of course, it's our very own Ed Daly. Ed was a little taken aback last week because I too briefly introduced him and he paused. So I'm letting him know right now, I'm going to you, I'm bringing you on. It's our very own co-host of the show, Hoboken Zone, Ed Daly. Ed.
I'm not precious. I don't need a big intro.
No, I know. You just weren't. Yeah. I didn't.
I was more taken aback that you were not aware of the Caruso cold opens to CSI Miami.
Well, no, I knew.
Anytime I hear it all weekend, yeah. I've been just thinking about it because it just, once the name Caruso comes up, I just think of those cheesy, you know.
I didn't.
Looks like the optometrist. Oh, no. Couldn't see the light.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't. I knew that that was a thing. I didn't realize it was like a constant thing. I thought it was just once in a while.
I've never seen the show like as it's intended. I've only seen those supercuts of the intros, yeah. And they're amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But I wanted to, you know, in a sort of more serious thing, want to bring up that you got to appreciate every day on Earth.
It's true.
And you know, that concert in England was terrible.
Horrible.
And there was a car in New York City that plowed into 30 people.
Yep.
And in a rare touching a change of pace, Rights of Bill reached out to make sure I was okay. I thought that was very caring. Yeah. And coincidentally enough, I was close in some way. Michelle was like 100 feet away from that thing.
Really?
Yeah, oh, she just happened to be meeting a customer. But, like, it's one of those things. If your number's up, like, fuck.
Yeah, true.
You never know. And I just read something, like, 2 hours ago that really is, if there's ever a reason to appreciate life, it's this, because you just never know in your last moment. The headline was, Dad Dies After Eating gas station Nacho Cheese.
Yeah.
9 Others Hospitalized.
Yeah.
Really? You think you're just having a nice day eating gas station nacho cheese and that's it.
Botulism. That's
it, you're done. I mean, outside of sushi, is there anything you wouldn't want to eat like less than cheese at a gas station?
I mean, there was a time that I was that the Circle K. I know that's a regional convenience store chain,
but I know of it from what's Bill and Ted's. They talked about
Circle right. K. So there was a Circle K on the corner near my apartment, and I was a guy with not much to speak of, no pot in which to piss. I would go down to that Circle K because they had 2 hot dogs for 99 cents, Ed, and I would go and. You put as much fucking chili on those hot dogs as you want. So I would go down there and I would load up 2 hot dogs with chili and cheese and jalapenos. And that chili, I mean, I'm not saying that not many people were digging into that chili that day, But by the time I got there, it'd be about 9 o'clock at night. I might have had some keystones. I would get in there and there would be like
congealed.
Yeah, there would be like an inch thick of separated grease on the top of it. And some botulism could have lived in there. So yeah, no, I'm not getting any gas station nachos anytime soon. But there was a time in my life.
That's true. I
those chances.
When I was in college, I had some on some poor dark days when I was running on fumes at the end of the semester. Some gas station hot or some 7-Eleven hot dogs
there,
with the chili on it.
Yes, even more recently, and this I blame the fucking airline industry for, because they used to give you fucking food on an airplane.
Oh, no. Now they're like, would you like some cheese and crackers for $11.50?
Right. Or they're like, hey, we have a sandwich for $10 and I'm in row 6. And they're like, I'm like, okay, I'll take one of those sandwiches. Ooh, sorry. Ran out. Well, you brought four sandwiches on the aircraft. So
would you care for some week old mushroom bisque instead?
That's right. Yes. So the sauce and I were flying home from Mexico a couple years ago. First, like, dangerous play. We were in mainland Mexico.
Yeah, right.
We're flying
home. Were you in Juarez?
We're flying home from Mexico, and it's like an early flight. It was like a 7 a.m. flight, and we were a couple hours from the airport, so we had a driver pick us up at like 4 a.m. So we popped up, got, you know, washed our faces, had our shit together, jumped in the car, drove to the airport, check in, and it's a long line. We barely, you know, we got like 10 minutes to make our flight. And we realize, oh my God, we haven't had anything to eat. And it's like a, you know, 5-hour flight. It's going to be quite a while before we get anything to eat. And I look over, and the bartendress is making sandwiches at the bar. She's making ham sandwiches. And I go, you know what? It's not ideal. It's just, but how bad could it be?
Any port in a storm kind of situation.
Right. It's a piece of cheese. It's a couple slices of jamon, a little mayo, some bread. I'm like, how could they fuck that up? And it's going to be so long before we can eat. So I went over there and I transacted two sandwiches. Got home. By that afternoon, my betrothed was in an extremely unfortunate way.
Wait a second. You were coming home from Mexico?
Coming home from Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah. There could be other factors at play.
There might have been, but it usually hits you pretty quickly. Like it's the only thing she had eaten in like the previous 12 or 15 hours.
So you were able to triangulate the sandwiches.
It was the only thing we both ate because it hit me too, Ed.
I remember this.
Yes.
I remember. We both came home from Mexico sick.
Yes, we were both vomiting as well as other stuff. Mm. And there may have been, I think Fancy had to be treated for a parasite. So I'm just saying you could find yourself, if you're not prepared, you could find yourself in an unfortunate situation. But no, I will not be eating any gas station nacho cheese.
Yeah, I always have. I mean, having kids helps having a granola bar and the
almonds,
something just that you can just leave in the car and it's not going to hurt anything. Yeah. But like, yeah, come on,
dried
fruit. You can't. I think at this point in our lives, we all have to be better than the gas station nachos.
It's true. I hope that life treats me well enough that I'm never ever forced to enter another Burger King. So far, it's been about probably 20 years. Same with Wendy's. Is Wendy's a regional chain? Is that national?
Wendy's is a regional chain with the fucking bullshit square burgers.
Yeah, you don't have that in the Northeast though.
Yeah, of course we do.
Okay. Well, I don't want to go there either.
So. No, certainly not.
Do you have anything else? I have an encounter that happened to me yesterday that you might be interested in.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Get home from the office. Oh, and but also good point. Live every moment, guys. Live in the moment. You could be running on the treadmill and your fucking heart could explode and you could be dead. So live up every moment. Don't be an asshole. Just hang in there. Notice.
And you just always have to appreciate, because going into last week's show, I came straight from a funeral to last week's show. And it's like, that was an old guy. Yeah. And, And it's like, that's still, everybody was all bummed out. Like, you just appreciate it. You never know when your number's up.
Speaking of that, Roger Moore died. R.I.P. Roger Moore. He's pretty old. And I know that everybody's Bond is Sean Connery, but Roger Moore was the Bond of my childhood. Like, when I was going to see James Bond movies in the theater, Roger Moore was James Bond. So that was yes. Like my James Bond was always Roger Moore. And yeah, he's a little bit cheesy, but he was my guy. So that's kind of
right. Fun. Right. That's how I feel about it too. It's like, well, my first Bond movies, the experience was Roger Moore. So right. I don't have that. Like, I mean, I like Goldfinger and all, but sure. Like the Bond I first was introduced to was Roger Moore. So yes. I liked his cheesiness.
Totally. Totally. That was like what I thought James Bond was. Okay, so yesterday, Ed.
Yeah.
I get home from the office and, oh no, I go hit the gym on the way home from the office and then get home and it was trash day. So I come inside and I put my bags down. I go back out to the street and I'm wheeling in my cans. And as I wheel in my cans, I notice like a couple people are just kind of like hanging in the cul-de-sac, like kind of looking over at my fence, like kind of not sure, like, they want to get my attention, but they're not. They're a little shy. And I had one more can to get. So I walk back out on the street, and this woman's probably like mid-50s. Mm-hmm. She's like, hi, hello. And I'm like, hi. And she's like, uh-oh. She's like, we just moved here. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking, they want a bull to come over. The husband wants to be cuckolded, and he needs a bull to come over. And he saw me glistening from the gym. And she's like, do you, and the husband's like kind of hanging back, like I would do if I sent my wife over to confront a neighbor about parking in front of my house or something. And the husband's kind of hanging back, like not making eye contact. And she's like, do you know anything about snakes? And I was wow. like, I was
you
like,
just give off that vibe, huh?
I was like, well,
I've been known to be a snake charmer.
That's a weird question to ask, right? Like,
who, if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, no, right? No, never.
But who knows things about snakes? Like, I know snakes exist.
Guys. Snake guys. Right. So you must really give off the vibe.
So she's like, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I guess. Why? I hate when people don't beat around the bush, because this is, right, that's like, not. That's
why not, am I drawing the answer, the questions out of you?
Right. Like, just like, say this, the thing.
I shouldn't be doing the work.
Right. Does it matter if I know anything about snakes? She's like, well, there's one, there's one over here, and I don't know which, is it safe? I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, what's it look like? And she's like, it's really big. And I'm like, well, like, what color is it? And she's like, it's kind of like green. And I go, well, there's not that many kinds of snakes around here. There's only a couple, Jesus, that I know of.
The fact that there's one and you know about it,
right?
I'd be like, pack up, everybody, we're going.
Well, I'm like, well, it sounds like a gopher snake. And I go, it's not, you know, dangerous. I wouldn't worry about it. And I'm like, but then they both just kind of stood there and looked at me like that was like, I hadn't given them what they needed. And I'm like, do you want me to come over and look at it? And they're like, yeah. And I go, okay. So I walk, they're like kind of across, like in another like corner across the cul-de-sac. So I walk over there, and the husband, he's like, you know, sort of an ineffectual, bit of an Ed Daly type. He's like,
he's a normal human being, doesn't want to be around snakes.
He's like, should I call animal control? Like, I'm not. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think they'll even come. So I walk over, and it's a pretty good size. Gopher snakes are probably like, I don't know, an inch and a half in diameter. They're not real fat, like a rattlesnake, like a full grown rattlesnake, but it was long, Ed. It was probably like more than 6 feet long.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah. It was long. And it was just cruising like from what it was like. It's kind of like stone or like brick. Like a brick cul-de-sac over there. And it was like cruising across the bricks from one side, from like one planter to the next. And I was like, whoa, I'm like, that thing is cool looking. And they're like, look at me like,
cool looking. Yeah. You're a snake guy.
Yeah. And they're like, what the fuck? And I'm like, you know what, guys? I go, it's not that's not going to hurt anybody. I'm like, I would just leave it alone. I'm like, it probably smells something in those bushes there that it wants to eat. And they're like, so it's like, how can you tell if it's venomous? And I'm like, well, it's not venomous. And I'm like, I don't, the only kind of,
how do you know that though?
The only kind because I know
you just like do a lot of reading on snakes and stuff.
It's just where I'm from. Like, I know the wildlife around here. So I go, the only kind of venomous snakes are rattlesnakes. And she's like, oh, those are the ones with the big head. And I'm like, yeah. And the fucking rattly thing on their tail. Like, that's how you can tell those. That doesn't,
even I know that right. From the movies.
Yeah, so I'm like, that doesn't have a rattly thing. But then I'm like, and then, so they're like, so there's nothing to worry about. And I'm like, no. And it was already like kind of going in the bushes. I'm like, I would just leave it alone.
And at the same time, 6 feet, like, you have to admit that's pretty alarming if you're, I don't know where they're from, but you know.
Yeah, but it was like the width of like a small broom handle, like not like a, you know, like an inch dowel. Like, not that big.
Are poisonous snakes always big?
No, they're not. But it's not poisonous either. And it was like, could give a fuck about us. Like, it was on its way. But I did say, I'm like, because for the show, for my Instagram feed, I was like, you know what? I'm like, I kind of would like to take a picture of it. Except I didn't have my phone in my pocket. So I ran back across the street to get my phone. And then I came back outside and I could see them, like, I think it had gone in the bushes. And so it wouldn't have made a good picture, so I just moved on.
But the good move is you did the good neighbor thing right out of the gates.
Yeah.
So, like, that buys you some goodwill. That buys you some goodwill with the neighbors if something else needs to be done later down the road. Like, you're known as the good neighbor.
Like, if I have to get rid of a body.
Yeah, whatever it might be. Like, I remember a new couple a few doors down from me. I could see the pregnant woman, like, struggling, carrying some bags. And I was like, all right, let me help you out here. And then ever since then, like, they're like, hey, how you doing? And like, it was getting annoying. And then I needed help with something because nobody was around. And I needed help carrying, like, furniture. And her husband was there.
Yeah, he had to help you. He had to.
Husband. And I was not asking for it. I was just struggling, like, just trying to do it myself. And he's like, oh, let me help you. And I bet if I didn't help his pregnant wife.
That's right.
He wouldn't have offered. So.
That's right. Good for you. Good Samaritan. Quickly. The guy with the big dick defense. Remember that last week? His girlfriend choked to death, and he contended that it was because his cock was so big, she choked on it. And in his defense, he wanted to show his hard dick to the jurors so they could, because he wasn't satisfied with the rumor. Like, he'd already given himself the rumor. Like, hey, I got a huge cock. This is how my poor girlfriend, I loved her. She's gone, but it's because I have such a big ass dick. But he wasn't satisfied with the rumor. He really had something to prove. He had something stuck in his craw, or maybe she did. And so he was like, hey, let me show the jury my big ass dick. Well, apparently the judge ended up not having to. The judge was thinking about it. He's like, I might have to let this guy show his cock. Like, this is, I don't want to get a mistrial.
That seems like the type of, I mean, I haven't been into that many courtrooms, but just from TV and movies. That's where they go into quarters, right?
Yeah. They go chambers. Yeah, that's
chamber, not quarters. Chambers. Yeah.
Let's head back to the chamber. But I figure they could just take a, like, do a dick pic, like a, you know, just like verify, like he could hold up today's paper next to his cock.
I love to see the slow walk right in front of the jury pool.
Yeah.
And just whip it out.
Well, yeah, because he would have to show it to each juror individually. Like, they'd both have to. I would just.
Or maybe he could do the wristwatch. Just walk up and down the jury with the wristwatch.
I would like just a super cut of all the jurors' individual faces. Like, they're, like, turning away. You could picture them kind of turning to the side with, like, one eye squinting but the other eye open looking down so they could get a good look at
that
hammer.
Nick Cage in that 8mm when he's forced to watch the snuff porn.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Me, you, Ed, you can't even look at dong in a porno. So they would have to, like, Clockwork Orange you, where you would be strapped to the chair with your eyelids peeled open and just dropping the bailiff bull would have to be there just dropping eye drops into your eyes to keep them moist while you observe the big dick killer's giant dong. Well, Ed, development in the story. And thank you to the 75 people on Twitter that sent this to me. Murder suspect who used big penis defense found not guilty, Ed. He got off.
I cannot believe that.
It's because what? Yeah.
Couldn't he just like stuff something, you know, if he stuffed a towel down her throat and then she choked, then he's like, oh, that was my dick.
Well, like, yeah.
How do they know?
I know. Well, so here's the thing. The coroner apparently, and remember, Florida is where this occurred. And they don't have like the modern methods of, you figure so many people get murdered down there in so many different ways, but usually it's just like devoured by a pet reptile, you know, or like killed.
Where's Caruso?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes. Like killed by neighbor snake. And so this guy
looks like the blower got jobbed.
Yeah. Are you going to do that more? Like that's the last one, right? The show. Just gonna stop.
I think I'm gonna do two a week.
How about we take the under on that? Like zero. We get it down to like the under on a half zero. Apparently, the guy that choked his girlfriend to death on his cock kind of played it right. He didn't call the cops right away. She died, and he's like, "I panicked," so he called some other people, like his daughter. It's kind of weird where he's
what.
He's like,
did he explain what happened to his daughter?
Look, honey, I have something to tell you. You remember when you walked in the bathroom when I was getting ready for work that one morning when you were 8 and you saw my big old cock? Well, Ruth Ann just choked to death on it. So he like didn't call the cops right away. And for whatever reason, by the times he already had a defense attorney by the time the cops were called. His defense attorney is the one who called the cops. So by the time the cops showed up, they couldn't really figure out how this woman died. Like there was no obvious signs of trauma. You know, there was no like ligature right. marks or signs of struggle or anything like that. So she could very well have died of natural causes or of choking on a big cock. They didn't know. So they never even had to rule on the whole cock thing. Because the medical examiner testified, he's like, hey, there's no way she could have choked to death on his dick because she probably would have fucking bitten it off. Like she would have like started convulsing. There would have been
a reflex, yeah, something.
I mean, obviously. So he's probably lying, but he's a free man. That's our system of justice.
I mean, if there's one rule we know in America, it's if you're going to commit a murder, there's one state to do it.
That's right. Yeah. You do it in the state of Florida. Or, barring that, you do it in a small town.
But not a small town in Italy.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. With some cop there that's real fucking into himself. And don't have, like, fucked anybody recently. Because that cop doesn't like people having sex in his town. And
he's got theories.
Right. If he finds out you've been fucking, he's going to pin a murder on your ass. Good. That's a really good point, Ed. So, props to this guy, Richard Patterson. He's free to choke people with his massive cock.
What are the odds he's already on the phone with the porn companies?
Well, you know, if he's like
dick killer.
Right? Well, yes. Like, remember John Wayne Bobbitt had like Frankencock or something. Like, if you have a big cock, A. Or two are accused of murder combined with having a big cock, you're going to have tons and tons of adoring fans. Like the Menendez brothers, both married on death row. I think one's divorced and remarried since he's been on death row. Scott Peterson.
And they're not lookers.
No. They have toupees. But Scott Peterson, who's the guiltiest motherfucker in the world, he gets love letters every week. He was the
one with the rowboat murder?
Right. He's the – yes.
Hey, let's go for a row. So
I went fishing on Christmas Eve by myself in San Francisco Bay. What's the big deal? Who doesn't do that?
They're biting that day.
Apparently. Okay. So that's that, the big dick murder guy. Ed, let's do some emails.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, need a little advice. A buddy of mine is getting married, so we planned the bachelor party for August. The wedding has been postponed, but we decided that we'd continue on with the plans and turn it into a bro weekend, of course. Like, you guys get so few opportunities to really fucking blow it out during the year. You're not going to just go, oh, he's not getting married. Well, we better fucking cancel that Vegas weekend. Of course they're going.
Of course.
Out of nowhere, one of my boys says he wants to bring his wife because, quote, she doesn't get along with other girls and has always been a part of our crew. It hurts her that you guys feel like she's not good enough to be invited to the vacation. I have no issues with his wife, other than the fact that she doesn't have a dick and therefore does not qualify for the bro weekend. I explained to him that it would, of course, cause issues with those of us who are also married and don't plan on inviting wives. I explained my wife finds out another wife is going. She wants to go. I, of course, say no because I own my own testicles. And then I turn into the asshole. Still, this didn't register with him, probably because he doesn't have kids. I offered to take a broat. What's a broat? I don't know what a broat is.
I assume it's...
Vote. Yeah, good job. Knowing that none of the other bros would vote in favor of her coming. I just
put it together. That's not a thing.
I know.
That is not a thing. You almost should stop reading just because he used that.
I agree. I didn't. This is the first I've ever heard it, and there's a chill that's come up my spine after reading that. I guess my question is not if I'm in the wrong, because I'm obviously right. But if I should discontinue my friendship with him altogether, he obviously has no respect whatsoever for the code. Let me know, Adam Ansel in the land of sugar. Wow, Adam, this is a great email. Ed, I'll let you go first. What are your thoughts here?
Adam, your friend is both a pussy and a monster, and he should be cut out of your life until he understands what it's like to be a normal human being. I'm not a misogynist, but it's okay for guys to just have a boys' weekend. Like, it's okay. Yes. You don't have to do it. I mean, any couple that does every single thing together, it's not going to work out anyway.
If no one else is bringing their wife, if your wife says to you, I want to go, first of all, she is a fucking monster. Right. Like, she
doesn't understand?
Yeah, she can't recognize that there's not any wives going. Like, why? Oh, she doesn't get along with other girls?
She's a problem. Yeah. She's a problem. But it's Adam's buddy that's the bigger problem, that he can't put his foot down and be like, listen, this is not for you. And also the fact that he thinks it's okay to even bring it up to the other guys.
Yes, he's a big
puss. She feels insulted that you don't want to be part of it. Like, fuck you and your girl. No, out. Yeah. Both of you.
I actually have some experience with this. We every summer, pretty much, I do a boys' weekend at Wrigley Field. The guys I go with are a little older than me, so they've been going for like 25 years. And I've probably been like, I don't know, 12 of the last 15 or so. I've been quite a few times. We go every year. And one year, my buddy Todd, so I probably should bleep that out, he shows up and he's invited like three or four waitresses from the fucking bar he hangs out at. And there's just
because he's trying to nail one of them?
I assume so. But that's not the point.
Yeah, no, not.
He's drunk.
Trying to get laid in Chicago.
Yes, there's plenty of fish out there in that sea in Lake Michigan that you can get with if you really need to do that. But he brings along these three chicks. And so we go to the game one day. And then after the game, we're like, all right, should we hit some regular bars? I mean, you've been to Chicago many times. You know, like
sure,
I do.
Of course.
It's fucking like the most drinking town in the country. You can't walk.
You bounce around Wrigleyville. Yes. And then, whatever.
There's bars everywhere. we go to the bars. And he goes, you know what, guys? Actually, the girls want to go get an ice cream at Navy Pier. So
then go.
Yeah.
Go.
So that's what he went and did. He went off with some broads and had ice cream at Navy Pier. Well, the rest of us were fucking doing shots and being men,
what
doing
a
men shit.
Pussy. What? I'm embarrassed on his behalf.
Yes, and this. So, Adam, your buddy needs a talk, and your other buddies are pussies if they're just. I mean, all omitting the whole brute situation. You guys should. This should be like an intervention. You should call
this
him over.
This isn't the bro code or anything. No, this is just normal human behavior.
You don't. When your wife's like, "Hey, I'm going to Peggy's baby shower on Sunday, and this, we're gonna play game. We're gonna like guess the baby's name and drink champagne and eat finger sandwiches." You're not like, "Oh, where's my invite? Like, I wanted to come to that."
Yeah.
What do you? Oh, I know none of the other husbands are going to be there, but I think I should come because I really get along well with all your girlfriends, and that's what I want to do. You would never do that. And it's the same thing. There has to be a division. Your wife doesn't get to do everything with you, and the fact that she even wants to means you might want to reconsider that marriage, or at least, at the very least, tread lightly.
And you know those couples that post all these things together on Facebook and then they flame out in like 14 months.
Yeah.
Like that's what happens.
Yeah. They have
it doesn't work when you're just, it's everything together all the time with every thought, everything. It never works that
shared
way.
Shared Facebook page, Darren and Amanda.
Oh, like, the shared email.
Yeah. Yeah. The shared email. Yeah. No, you got it. You're in the right here, Adam. Of course, other than the whole brote thing. You guys all need to show a united front, and this guy needs to see the error of his ways, because this could be a major division in your friendship. This is something.
Yeah, and if some of your friends are like, I don't know, should we just let them do it anyway? No. They need to be cut out too.
I agree. Totally agree.
You might need to do the purge here.
This is a line in the sand moment for you and your buddies. So let us know how it goes. That's a great email.
Yeah, good email.
Okay, here's another one. Hola. Really impressed that this guy knows how to do the upside down exclamation point before the word.
That's a real Spanish.
Yeah, I never know how to do that.
I know how to do it on on the iPhone.
Yeah.
If you hold down the letter.
Yeah.
And then it pops up. You have an option, but on a regular keyboard, no.
I remember when I learned how to do the degree sign. I was like really looking for reasons to write degrees. I was
where is that? Is that like an emoji?
You just hold down the zero.
Ooh.
And then you slide over and you can do degrees.
might have to work that in.
Yeah. Same with like if you want to do the accent marks and stuff, you just like hold down the E or the A.
Right,
if you want
to do
an umlaut.
Or the tilde.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. Hola. I'm afraid that it might be too late by the time you get to this or by the time I hear this. But how quickly after the interview did you find out that you got the job? I interviewed for a better position at one of the places that I work at. Back on April 24th, that's a month ago, and I was told that hopefully a decision would be made by the end of that week. 2 weeks later, May 8th, they tell me that they still haven't made a decision yet and that it would be another week. At this point, I'm assuming I'll probably get passed over for this one since I was told that they already had someone in mind before our interview was scheduled, with compensation being the big hang up there. Normally, I'd continue searching for jobs as usual, but if I don't get this job, I plan on using that to talk to my boss to reflect on what I could do better to land a job similar to what I interviewed for, because right now I'm at a point where I'd like to either move up the ladder or change careers altogether. By the way, it was my boss who put in a good word for me, which helped me get the interview to begin with. Cheers. That's from Kevin near DC. Kevin didn't get this job, right?
I don't know if that's true. I would say Most likely no, but Michelle, that's her business, is in,
that's right,
in the hiring related stuff. And there are some situations where things are hot and then they cool off because, oh, we've got a headcount issue. We can't hire anybody until July 1st. Like,
yeah, next
there
quarter.
There are a lot of people. And so they kind of just say, all right, let's keep them warm. You know, like, let's keep them there in case we need to make the hire in a month and a half. Like, things change all the time. Or you need somebody sign off and, you know, their mother dies and they're out of the office. Like, things can all of a sudden go from we're going to have something next week to, oh, it's going to take 6 weeks. Like, you
right.
know, you never know. But I would say, no matter what, you've mentally checked out.
Yeah.
Or you've mentally moved on. So you should be looking.
Right.
And it's fair that you've already had this conversation with your boss. Talk to your boss. Say, you know, I'm ready to do something. And if this doesn't work out, like, what's my next move? But if there's no harm, your boss already knows you were trying to get another job. Like, why don't you just tell him, like, all right, like, you know, have that honest conversation.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say definitely. I'd say it doesn't look great
after a
month.
Yeah.
But it things do just stop in the middle of, you know, something that's promising. They might want you, but then they realize they can't hire you for another month.
I have noticed, and tell me if this is just been my experience or if this is the modern hiring practice, that oftentimes, even if you go well down the road in the interview process, where you have lots and lots of meetings with people, where you really get to the point where you're like, I think I'm going to get an offer here, all of a sudden these companies will just go radio silent on you. And yes. they won't, and eventually you realize, oh, well, I guess they made the move with someone else. Where it used to be, they would call you, they would give you a phone call and go, hey, we appreciate you coming in all these times. We, you know, thought you were great, whatever. We found a better fit. Just the courtesy phone call you would get. This happened to me recently. I went down the line with these people. It was like this. I was going to do media relations for this big foundation. And it was like, wasn't sure if I was going to take it, but they found me on LinkedIn. And they reached out to me, and they're like, hey, you know, we want to talk. You know, here's what we have going on. Here's what we're looking for. Here's why we like you. Can you test for us is one of the things, because it's when you do media relations, they want to make sure that you can communicate in their voice. So I did that. You know, I wrote a bunch of stuff that I thought would work for their thing, but I was kind of like, hey, once I'm immersed in the culture of the company, there might be nuances that I don't see yet, but trust me, I'll get them. And it was like way down the line, and I talked to everybody, and it was a whole thing. And we had the compensation discussion, and they freely admitted that it would be tough for them to get to the number that I needed, but they said, hey, we could get close. And, you know, here's the other, which is what they do. Here's the other perks of working here that might make it worth it to you. But you know, when you're having that conversation, you're pretty well down the road. And then I meet with everybody. I do the whole thing. And the last I hear is, hey, everything's looking good. I'll let you know what the next steps are going to be later this week. That was like 3 months ago.
Right.
Like, no. And then you're like, okay, well, obviously this isn't going to happen, but you still reach out, you shoot an email, you leave a voicemail. Hey, just, you know, want to know where things are at. You mentioned we'd talk again. I haven't heard from you. Let's chat. Nothing, no response, no email. And this has happened to other people I know, capable people. Like, and this isn't like, hey, I had one phoner with the recruiter and didn't hear back. That's happened to everybody. But this is, you go well down the road with a company, and it's like it's like modern commerce where they're just like, ah, fuck that guy. I'm not going to.
Yeah, there's no, the rules are just way different now.
Yeah,
just like, you know, there used to be like it was a real, you know, an honor to be like, Bob's been here 23 years. Now it's like, that fucking useless sack of shit's been here 8 years.
Right.
We don't have to respect him at all. Like, it's everything's changed.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I hopefully, Kevin, this is going to happen for you. But it's not just the fact that your boss was like, hey, you should go talk to these people means that you're probably pretty well thought of and that people like you. So if it didn't happen this time, especially because it sounds like you came into it late in the process, hopefully you got it. But if not, I'm thinking good things are going to happen for you.
And just talk to your boss. He obviously thinks you can do better. Right. So tell him, all right, well, if this doesn't work, where's my next move? What can I do?
Work that network, buddy. Speaking of that network, you know what's come? It's Memorial Day this weekend, Ed, and you know what that means.
You know, I didn't until, I guess, reading this story. I didn't realize that. This is not my bailiwick.
No, me either, but I know about it.
I mean, in theory, I should know that it's Indy 500 weekend, but yeah. I'm just telling you, it didn't occur to me.
Okay.
You know what? Anytime I think of the Indy 500, I think of what is it, the little 500?
Yes,
Breaking Away.
Yes, that's real.
One of the most underrated movies. Yeah, I went to I interned with a guy who went to IU, and I just kept asking him questions about Breaking Away and stuff, and he's like, "All right, how many times are we going to talk about this?"
I thought it was just a movie. I thought it was
And it's like a big drinking.
It's a big thing. You got the fucking townies racing against the fraternities. Like, it's a whole thing.
If you haven't seen that movie, it's one of the more underrated sports movies.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great.
Young Dennis Quaid, who's the voice of Wonder Years?
Daniel Stern. Kelly Leak.
Kelly Leak. Good movie.
Yeah.
Good
movie. Very, very good movie. I might have to, and you know, it's one of those ones that would be on like every Saturday on channel 13 when you're a kid. Like, you just flip on the TV or the Dodger game would end and it'd be like, up next, Breaking Away. And now, you know, we live in a time where you have access to everything. So you have to go seek stuff out. You don't just necessarily run into shit like that. But yes, Indy 500.
It's got to be somewhere. Good movie.
Yeah. It's very good.
Okay, well, after winning the Indy 500 pole and the $100,000 check that goes with it, race car driver Scott Dixon went to celebrate with his friend and three-time Indy winner Dario Franchitti at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Now, while in the drive-thru lane, 14 and 15-year-old boys whipped out guns and robbed them.
Well, it's Indianapolis.
The boys were caught shortly thereafter, but questions remain. Now, Brian, what's the worst part about the story? One, that anyone decided to eat at Taco Bell.
Yeah, I agree.
Two, that robbers thought the best spot to rob someone was at the drive-thru of a restaurant that never requires more than $10. Or three, that this was the best culinary option in Indianapolis.
Yes.
I mean, these guys are millionaires. Don't they make tons of money? Oh, yeah. Tons. Taco Bell. That's not a real choice, right?
Dario Franchitti used to be married to Ashley Judd.
I thought that name was familiar.
Yeah, he's the weird one because you're like Dario Franchitti. You're like, oh, it's like this fucking crazy Italian, like suave Italian dude. He's Scottish. He's a Scotsman. He's got the whole accent. But he's called Dario Franchitti. Okay.
Dave Letterman used to have all those guys on because he's a big IndyCar.
He owns a team.
Yeah.
He owns a team with Bobby Rahal. He's David Letterman has won the Indy 500. His team's won it, I think, I know at least once, maybe a couple times.
I miss that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good. These guys, do you think that they were approached because every Indy car driver is like 5'6", 128 pounds?
And so 14-year-old boy's like, oh, we can take this.
Yeah, we can. These guys are
like sixth graders.
Yeah. And of course they can eat. They have such fast metabolisms. Of course they can eat Taco Bell.
Wait, are they like jockeys? They're like the same thing?
Maybe, I don't know if they have to like puke constantly to make weight like jockeys, but they're little dudes. And these guys, they're at the top of the list of the guys that just pro athletes that just get the most pussy. It's like not even close. It's F1 would be like, that's the pinnacle. That's the pussy pinnacle in the pro sports
Europe, right?
Right. And well, it's all over the world, but yeah, European sport. F1 and then like pretty much all race car drivers, but F1 and IndyCar and then like soccer players are up there and hockey guys get really good ass, really good. And baseball players do really well too. But yeah, don't need to talk
back about. To the little guys. I watched the Preakness with my kids, and when they interviewed the jockey, they couldn't get over. They're like, "What's with his voice? Like, why is he talking like crazy. That?"
It's,
yeah, because they sound like they're all on helium. Right. These guys are so tiny.
They're so little, and they're all fucking alcoholics. I mean, not talking about anybody specifically, but it's just a trend.
Shoemaker, right?
Yes, he's one. Yeah, it's R.I.P.
But it must be delightful. Yeah. Like a Coors Light would get you just shit faced,
right? But they can't gain any weight, so all they do is eat like a walnut a day or a part of an apple. And then when the race ends, they just go get blotto every single day because they're hanging around a bunch of unsavories. Like, a lot of people want to buy them drinks. Yeah. It's not the best. Yeah,
lots
crowd.
Of guys named after cities.
Right.
That's the kind of guys they're hanging out with.
Yes, exactly.
That was my friend Philly.
Yeah.
Hey, Vegas over there.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent story. What else, Ed?
Okay. Well, a recently retired ball player, but always making headlines. A-Rod. So the MLB Network tweeted out a picture of A-Rod in the booth before a game last week with his notes, getting ready to call a game. But then the network deleted it. Luckily for the world, Deadspin took a screenshot of the tweet before they deleted it. And upon closer examination of A-Rod's notes, the following was jotted down in giant font. Child, colon, birth control, baby, pull-out stuff. Now, Brian, the correct answer is option A, right?
Yes, of course. Well, I mean, it's definitely not option B.
Yep. I would say A, and if A didn't happen,
right.
Definitely C. Definitely right. C.
A, well, definitely A if I had Alex Rodriguez money.
Yeah, what do you think, what was the point, like, was he joking around, or do you think, like, that's just what whistles through his head?
Well, I don't know, you know how, like, if you look at anybody's notes, they probably don't make sense to you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
know. I want to hear this, how this is going to make sense.
Maybe it's...
And it also said, like, January 12th on it. Like,
yeah, that's weird.
There was also, like, a weird date on there.
Yeah.
Like, it was last week that he called the game.
I know.
And, like, he had, like, one page with some baseball stuff, and then the other page said this. But in big font. Like, you definitely... It was big handwriting, like John Hancock size, and it's a child birth control baby pull-out stuff.
Yeah, I don't like how he's one of these guys. First of all, he doesn't use the lines. And I don't use the lines exactly either, but I orientate the writing so it's in the same direction as the lines. He's
going... Yeah, it's a little... Hey, it's almost like he was on PCP.
Yeah, right? He's going perpendicular to the lines. Also, he's one of these guys that, like, he writes a 7-word note to himself, and it's 3/4 of the page. He's writing way too big in sort of a cursive-y script, which is weird. He doesn't have girl writing like Aaron Hernandez. But
it's odd. It's odd.
Yeah. Like
it's not Aaron Hernandez, but it's a little flowery.
Yeah, it's a little fruity. I mean, this guy's not an educated guy. We know that. Although I guess that doesn't really affect your penmanship. I don't know. Pull out stuff. Well, definitely one birth control. 1A pulling out. I mean, pulling out.
And what is pull out stuff? Like, I'm pretty sure there's only one way to pull out.
That's
right?
True. But that's why I'm thinking, like, pull out stuff. Like maybe he's going on a trip and maybe he's going skiing. And he's like, go down to the garage and go up above in the rafters there where I keep my
pull out.
Where I keep my parka and my poles and my atomics, and I get all that stuff, pull out stuff to go skiing on January 31st or something.
Yeah, or maybe he's trying to spit roast, so he's pulling out stuff in both ends.
That's true. Yeah, could be. Also, he's going out with Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
Who's one of my just all time. We've talked about it on this show. She's probably my number one sex fantasy.
Way up there.
And she, But also, in terms of being way up there, she's, I'm not saying she's beyond childbirthing.
She is not menopausal.
She's
right?
not menopausal.
She's like our age or maybe no, like a no. few years
she's
older.
She's 47.
Right?
So she could physically get pregnant, but my guess is that her eggs are not as viable as they would have been earlier in life. She would probably need some help. Like this,
you're gonna have, or you're just gonna need the super unlucky roll the dice to not grow.
I mean, it could happen. It is unlikely. And I don't know about baby. I don't know. It's interesting notes. I wonder. I don't know. I don't really have. I don't really have a good idea of what's going on there.
It's a weird thing to take notes on. I mean, these are pretty well established things. Like, you need to take notes on what the three options are.
Yeah. I don't know why you would need to write that's child.
Maybe child he fancies colon. Himself as like a modern day Ben Franklin doing the pro con list, but he doesn't understand how there's supposed to be two columns.
No, yeah, that could be it. The pros and cons list. But again, not, you know, he's drafted and he's in the major leagues when he was 18. So I don't think he really like had any.
You don't have any confidence in the Hialeah high school system?
Definitely not. Also, what is Alex Rodriguez? Is he Dominican?
I believe so.
Yeah. Or like half? But he's from here.
I believe so. But yeah, I mean, I know. Yeah, I know he was a Miami guy. Like, he donated. Like, if you go down to University of Miami baseball, they have their big time program. It's like the Alex Rodriguez field. Like, he's definitely well connected to the Miami community.
Yeah.
So I think he was always a Miami guy, but I think he's of Dominican.
Well, it's kind of weird because like Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
It's one of my all time favorites. He's tearing it up in the Korean League right now. Manny Ramirez. He's from Washington Heights, but he's more Dominican than he is American. But I think he was born in the Dominican Republic, but he grew up and went to high school here.
Well, yeah, I know my guy Manny Machado on the Orioles.
Yeah.
He grew up in Miami, like he idolizes A-Rod, but he played for the Dominican team and he was a Miami guy. But that's like. You know that you can exist in communities down there
where they don't speak English,
where you're just in a better version of Dominican Republic. Like you can have a whole restaurants, food stores where it's just like where Michelle's hometown is now just pretty much a Korean place. Like there's very little English at the stores.
Good point, buddy. Ed,
yeah,
you were a Wall Street guy, so you were always going to these three martini lunches at the high end. Manhattan.
I used to. One customer made me take him to Sparks like once a week.
Yeah,
couple scotches.
Yeah,
and a steak, and it was like, oh, I can't keep my eyes open.
I know. So it's I don't understand how
once a week, two scotches and a steak. And he made sure he did huge trades after those lunches. So I was never going to turn him down. Right. Nobody could fault me because it was like I'd be walking in the door from the lunch and be like, all right, offer me $750 million of this bond or whatever. Yeah. Offer me $1 billion of that. It's like, all right.
Worth it.
We'll keep doing it.
So worth it. Well, you know me, Ed. I pretty much brown bag it every day. I like to eat healthy. So I'll bring some salmon, fish. Maybe some halibut. You know what I've been doing lately is I'll eat my lunch, but I don't like to get home in the evening and be super hungry and snack a whole bunch before dinner. So I've been trying to like knock that down. So right before I leave work.
Oh, God.
I'm going to hate this.
I am going to hate it.
I'll eat like a handful of walnuts. And a,
that's fine.
And a can of smoked oysters.
Oh my God.
So good for you.
And it's disgusting.
That way I get some protein going. And then when I get home, I'm not like starving to death.
God.
Occasionally for lunch, I'll just have a can.
You know, I said appreciate life. Like, yeah. We should appreciate you because someone's going to murder you pretty soon.
Oh, a lot of times I'll have a can of tuna and an avocado and like a tomato and maybe some cucumbers.
Tuna stinks up an office.
Yeah, it's really smelly. Yeah.
It's a very smelly. Yeah. When you open that can, you might as well be clipping your toenails at your desk. It's you're such a monster. It's pretty. Well, I used to work near a guy who clipped his toenails at work. It was
dry that's not true.
All the time.
That's not true. No one's ever done that.
His name was Sheldon.
No, he should be in prison. That man should be in prison.
Yeah.
Awful.
He was a 50-year-old Jewish guy who was way into Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Straight Eye. What is it?
That's it. You said it right.
Yeah, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Am I going to have to bleep that guy's name, too, to protect him?
Fuck that, dude.
Well, Ed, it's not just me who's got weird stuff in the fridge.
Yeah?
Felicia Nevins called police after worrying the thermos she was using to store sperm and dry ice in for her artificial insemination could have exploded. Nevins hadn't even told her family about her fertility journey, but she says the sheriff's office posted the story on its Facebook page after the incident, and a news crew showed up at her door.
Is this a DIY kind of thing? I didn't realize this.
I thought you had to go to like a place to get this done.
Yeah, I don't know. Pretty sure. At least an outpatient clinic, something.
I don't think you show up and you're like, I'm here for my insemination. And they're like, okay, where's your
cum? Here you go.
Yeah. I think
they have to. Like, here's your spermis.
I think they have to vet the jizz. Like, it's not. They have to make sure it's viable jizz.
Yeah, right. There's a lot that goes into it. She's just. She got some guy. She got some guy behind a dumpster at Denny's to be like, "Hey, can you just jerk off into this, and I'll just put on some dry ice?"
Would you mind? Do you have any?
Hey, it works for Omaha Steaks. Why? Let's do it.
Do you have any cancer in your family? No, not sure. Good enough. But I should mention this happened in Florida, Ed. The Pasco Sheriff's Office posted a short explanation of what happened using a stock photo of a woman with a disgusted expression. What are they? They're doing like Fat Jew style material on their Facebook page. They didn't use Nevin's name, but she said there were enough details, her age, location, and time of the incident for reporters and curious citizens to figure out who she was by searching public records. It started on Wednesday after the 26-year-old called the sheriff's non-emergency line because she forgot to remove the thermos's rubber O-ring, meaning the container could have exploded. She said a deputy and firefighters arrived, took the thermos away, and safely opened it. Oh, hazardous duty pay. She said they were kind and didn't tell her nosy neighbors what happened. The officer told them it was a private matter, Nevin said, and he treated it as a private matter until he got back to the station and everybody laughed about it.
Ed, they should have treated it like super seriously, like Hurt Locker, like sent the guy in with a full padded suit.
Yes.
They should have gone full.
Get out the robot. Like, they should bring
give us
in
the spermis.
Like bring in a drone, like swoop it away with a drone, and then take it out over the ocean and explode it over the ocean.
There's no way that was really for artificial insemination.
Ed, what is worse? Me microwaving salmon at the office or this broad bathing the community fridge in rando spunk?
She must be so stupid.
Like, what? Assuming the spunk had breached the beverage container, Ed? What was Felicia's expectation of the cops? Like, did she want them to arrest the sperm? Like, what? Like, wipe it up, lady. Like, what?
Ma'am, do we have a botched poison ivy situation? Like, why?
Right.
Why? What were you doing? What was the end game here? She had a Boris Becker situation?
Like, imagine if somebody If somebody called the cops every time somebody left some errant jizz somewhere, like this, we'd be inundated. Like the, it would be 911 would be broken.
That's great.
Ed, last week we talked about that woman in Minnesota who pinched 8 large from the local high school's grad night kitty
to
fund her burgeoning dildo enterprise.
Right.
Well, I thought, wow, that's sort of a weird happening. Like, it's, what are the odds that, like, when's the next time you're going to hear about somebody running a side dildo business? And it turns out it's a pretty common thing. And some parents in Connecticut are pretty pissed off at their kid's sixth grade teacher because she's slanging fake dicks on the internet. The unnamed sixth grade teacher from Thompson Brooks School in Avon was placed on administrative leave for posting photos of kinky goodies on her personal social media page. School board officials admitted they knew for years that she worked as a sales rep for the adult shop Pure Romance, which sells items such as vibrators, lube, and, quote, anal soothing gels. You know whoever wrote this?
Anal nitrates? Poppers?
No. Anal soothing gels, Ed.
But isn't that... poppers relax the anus.
Yeah, but, and you inhale those. This is
soothing. This is...
Yeah.
This is just like a numb the area kind of thing.
That's exactly right. It's like when the dentist is going to give you a shot in the gums. He puts a little something on there. So it's not as intense. But when parents found out, they flocked to a school board meeting Tuesday, claiming the teacher's a bad influence on her preteen students. There's no policy forbidding teachers from having other jobs, but officials drew the line when she used her personal social media account to promote the sultry supplies. Ed, is having your sixth grade teacher slinging low-grade butthole lidocaine better or worse than my sixth grade teacher returning from a leave of absence and describing in vivid detail for the class his prostate removal surgery?
Oh, my God. Did he really?
Yeah. Mr. Jacober.
Mr. Jacober. What are you doing, buddy?
I assume he's dead because he was probably... 80 years old.
Sixth grade, he was already having the prostate go.
Yeah. And he was very vivid about how the doctor made an incision between his penis and his anus. And we were all laughing so
hard. Nice to open my taint, class.
We were all laughing so hard, and my buddy Chad kept raising his hand and asking over and over again, "Excuse me, Mr. Jacober, where did they make the incision?" "Between my penis and my anus." He said it like 4 times. And all of us were just stunned.
I think I said this about the story. I've said it about a few stories.
Yeah.
Aside from our asshole listener, KC, who's probably not a listener anymore. Oh, it's well established that teachers don't make shit. Like,
no.
let them make it. And how do these parents know? Like, that's parents who are digging it. Like, oh, let me see what they're up to. Like, leave your teachers alone. Yeah, like, it's not like teachers like, all right, class, I'm going to teach you about the Missouri Compromise with the help of these anal beads. Like, you're just, one doesn't have to anything to do with the other. She's not trying to sell them to the kids.
No,
like, of course not. Just calm the fuck down.
Also, why are you Facebook friends with your kid's teacher? Like, let's have some boundaries. You don't have to be so up in the mix. I feel like every week I get an email from like the school mom, the class mom or something. And there's always like, let's get the teacher. Our week to bring flowers. Somebody needs to bring her flowers every day. And
Teacher Appreciation Week. And this is
that just happened. And it was like her favorite flowers are lilies. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's it's enough. Like, I'll tell her thanks. I'll get her $25 to Starbucks at the end of the year. Let's chill out here. Let's not make it a fucking party every week. It's her job is to teach the kids.
I actually live next door to one of my kids' teachers. Like, literally in my apartment building.
Directly next door.
Yeah, like our doors are 30 feet apart.
Shut up. Is she kind of hot? Like,
oh, it's a dude. He's awesome.
Oh, it's a dude. Oh. Because I was like,
but I wouldn't mind living 30 feet away from my other
right. son's yes. teacher. Yes, that's what I'm talking wouldn't about. Mind. Yes.
Wouldn't mind this is, at all.
I feel like I've seen this porno, and I enjoyed it. Yeah. Definitely.
I wouldn't mind pulling a Draper.
Ed, joining us now, it is time for everybody's favorite segment of the show, of course. I'm talking about Fancy Sauce, and it was touch and go for a while, but she was able to make it, thankfully.
Hey, Kate.
She joins us now.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's party time.
Kate McManus. How you doing, Kate?
Let's do this.
Good.
All right. Quickly, before we get to your stories, the real news, as we like to call
yes,
it.
Yes, that's right.
We have some email and voicemail to get to. This, I thought, was interesting. This is in response. Do you guys recall last week, we had a very, very... I won't say important, but heartfelt.
Oh, definitely important.
Important and heartfelt. From a guy who was having problems with ED. He was having problems maintaining an erection, and he mm-hmm. was he had, and I don't suggest this, along the lines of brote for brovote, mm-hmm. I don't suggest ever using this term. He was adopting the no FAP lifestyle. I think that's the second time I've ever used that word. The first was his email.
Yeah, don't use it again.
And we said maybe that's not the best idea to completely give up masturbation.
Right, I remember.
You want to keep making sperm. And so
keep it flowing.
Keep it flowing, but also talk to your doctor. And, you know, we gave him some good advice. I thought, well, somebody listened and they had some thoughts on that call or on that voice or email. And they left a voicemail with some interesting thoughts coming from a different direction. Let's hear what this guy has to say.
What's up, guys and Fancy? This is DT in Houston. Listening to episode 169 currently, and had to pause it. You guys are discussing the gentleman with the ED and the masturbation problems, and y'all are telling him to jerk off, which is fine, unless he's married to the lady who likes a lot of cum. I believe that was the story 5-6 months ago where the lady who didn't have enough cum stabbed the gentleman. So you might want to clarify with him to make sure that he doesn't have a woman who loves a large load of semen.
Interesting.
Have a great weekend, boys.
DT. First of all, let me tell you. By far, the best voicemail we've ever had to this program. I
wholeheartedly agree.
I had not thought about, wait, maybe this guy should check with his partner first and be like, listen, I am having these problems. I've thought about adopting the no-fap lifestyle, but then some friends of mine, some people that I trust gave me some different advice, and I just need to know. Are you comfortable with me producing a smaller amount of ejaculate than normal? I think
the story he's referring to
yeah.
was a meth head from Florida, yeah. from like the panhandle, yeah. right?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah.
There were some other circumstances.
Right.
Now, Kate.
Yes.
As a woman, you're married now. But as
I am?
Yes. As a
just
woman.
Kidding.
As someone that has dated in life. How many times have you had a conversation with your girlfriends where you're like, I'm dating this guy and he is so nice. He's got a great job and he's really emotionally sweet. Available. He's just a nice guy. He always opens the door for me. He's very sexually alert and vibrant. He's got a good sized cock, but not too big. And he's just really, puts my pleasure first. He puts my feelings first. I really love everything about him. except for one thing.
You're trying to actually describe someone I've dated in the past.
And you're like, he just doesn't produce enough cum. I don't know if I can stay with
him. I like a good cord.
Yeah, he does. Yes.
For A, I feel like this is a trick to get me to admit that I wasn't a virgin when we met.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And B, I've broken up with guys over many, many, many things.
Yes, including cum volume.
And that's one of them, yeah.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, fantastic. Yes. Oh, so this is good. This is actually good advice, DT.
Anonymous. DT, yes. I think general rule is if she gets out a measuring cup when you're ready to ejaculate, that's when you're supposed to reassess things.
Yes, if she's like, hold on, I'm not quite ready, and then she returns to the bedroom with a graduated cylinder, you might want to be concerned.
And if when you're done, she says, is that it?
Do you?
Yes. Wait.
Yes. More. More.
You're done?
Unbelievable. Okay, thank you very much for that, DT. Really, really appreciate that. Like I said, my favorite voicemail ever. Okay, here's an email. Hey, fam. I heard that you needed an intro song to the Can Conundrum segment, and boom, I'm here to oblige. I would have gotten it out sooner, but I don't think it would be humane to put the eventual marriage counselor through the following phrase with my wife. We were going to finish Mother's Day dinner, but he decided to go fix the backing harmonies to a song about looking at titties for a podcast. It would, however, guarantee me big cash for a spot during sweeps for an episode of Who the Bleep Did I Marry? So keep the requests coming, but I digress. Let's give it a try. Hit it.
Yeah. I can't decide. This can conundrum for you, baby.
Wow. Another
breathtaking.
Unbelievable. Breathtaking. Excellent job by our very own Writes a Bill, channeling Barry White.
And Barry Manilow.
Either.
Not interested
either.
In cans.
I mean, no, definitely not.
I like that song. So yeah, good job.
It's great.
On that. I approve.
Here is his can conundrum that he's passed along. Kate is at a Victoria's Secret one day, trying on something special for her boo.
Victoria's Secret's basic. I'd never go there, but go ahead.
What up, me? When all of a sudden, a huge rush of customers hits the store.
You're more of a Fredericks of Hollywood kind of?
Yeah. The fitting room, trashy lingerie. The fitting room.
I love around Christmas seeing a dude walk in there. It's like, right.
Yeah, that's great. Fine panties. The fitting room attendant says that everyone will have to double up in the changing rooms due to the crowd. I'm about to abandon my no-fap lifestyle right now. Kate, holding the latest lace high neck baby doll in hand, sees two spots. One has Emma Stone with a lace bodysuit. Another has Alison Brie with a bustier, both offering front row seats to some amazement. What does she choose? That's a course from our very own Writes a Bill.
Hey, Bill, this is a no-brainer. Emma Stone's basically like a boy.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Concur.
Not sexy.
Yep.
No sex appeal. Yep. Zero.
Yep.
Alison Brie, on the other hand, one of the hottest chicks.
She is my girl.
Also, a big favorite of Brian's.
Yes.
I'd have to agree, though. There's a lot of time Brian's like, this girl's attractive. And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
What do you mean?
But sometimes he nails one.
Like, what are some of the ones where you're like,
remember.
You can't believe that I think she's hot?
Like that one.
She went against Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, that's true. She did
that one from The Bachelor, Melissa.
Melissa Rycroft.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
She was kind of fog, but she had it. The thing about her was her cheesiness made her sort of hot.
No.
Yeah.
I just disagree.
Oh, yeah. Melissa Rycroft is good.
Straight up disagree. No. Oh, yeah, we're getting a divorce.
That's a good one.
I agree with you. I will say this about Emma Stone. Yep. Like,
I think she just doesn't pass the Hollywood hot chick test. Right. I'm sure she's perfectly pleasant looking in person.
Sure.
She has a snaggle tooth.
Does she?
I mean, kind of. You know, I'm sure if I saw her out, it would be like, oh, she's attractive.
But I still haven't seen La La Land.
She doesn't pass. She doesn't. I mean, if you do, you're a monster.
In protest.
Who would you see it with? yes, continue.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a difference. Like, Hollywood hot versus just some ordinary looking person. Like, I don't think she's not Rebel Wilson, but whoa, she's not. Wow.
No, I get what you're saying. Yes. She's not Scarlett Johansson.
Oh.
She's just super regular.
I saw part of Match Point the other day. Oof. It was tough standing up after
that. Scarlett Johansson's in Magic Mike?
I watched part of Magic Mike.
Oh. No, I don't think
Point.
She is.
Oh, Match Point. I thought you said Magic Mike. Yeah.
Match Point's pretty good, actually.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Woody Allen thriller.
She's super hot in that.
Mm-hmm.
She has
it's good.
Beautiful breasts and just a nice
okay.
alabaster.
Things are devolving, good, as per usual.
There's a good rainstorm scene in Match Point.
But don't count out, she also has a beautiful round ass. Thanks for that, Right to Bill.
Yeah, I can't decide. This can't get done to pull you, baby.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Amazing.
Thanks,
amazing.
Bill.
He's very talented. Okay, Kate. Time for the real news. What is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in?
Well, I know everyone listening has been hanging on the edge of their seats for some Flip or Flop updates.
Yeah, who hasn't?
Tarek and Christina.
Yeah. Pins and needles.
Tarek.
I always say it wrong.
Tarek.
Christina.
It says I would think Kate's pronunciation is probably more correct. Does he go by Tarek?
I believe he goes by Tarek.
So dumb sounding.
It doesn't sound right.
I don't know. I could be wrong. Tarek. I could be wrong.
Christina and Tarek. So Christina was recently questioned by Child Services after her toddler fell in the pool.
Yeah.
I feel like Tarek found out and called them. This is what happens when you're in a custody battle.
You think
so? Well, any sort of ammunition you can gather against the other person to make them look like an unfit parent. Sources close to the family say that Christina and Tarek's one-year-old son, Brayden.
Oof. B-R-A-Y-D-E-N.
B-A-S-I-C.
Yes, he's gonna for sure be in the WHL Bantam draft in like 14 years.
I was under the care of the nanny Monday when he fell into the pool. She swooped the child up quickly. He was never unconscious. So I'm not sure what child services needed to be contacted. This happens with kids. You cannot take your eyes off a toddler around a pool. No. They are going to end up in the pool every single time.
You think there's going to be a big splash and they just
plop. Slip. My little brother fell in the pool when he was a toddler and he sank to the bottom immediately.
Everybody that has read Freakonomics knows that a pool in your backyard is much, much more dangerous than having a firearm in the home to a child.
What?
Oh, yeah.
When I was, I used to be a country club lifeguard. Mm-hmm. And the only saves I made, you know, when you're a lifeguard, you're thinking, oh, I got to do this. It was all toddlers in the pool.
Yeah.
That was the only save I would make.
Yeah. It's sad.
Did any of the moms ever, were they ever like, Ed, can you just save my child? Can you come over to my estate? My orthopedic surgeon husband is going to be at a conference for the next week. So can you come over? I need some help changing some light bulbs at my house.
Well, two things. Yeah. One.
Yes.
I definitely wanted that scenario to play out.
Yeah, me too.
On a daily basis. Two, there were a couple of Randy moms that like were looking for an angle just with any of the college guys that were working there.
Yeah.
But like there are just bored housewives that have nothing else to do. You could tell that they were looking for anyone who was going to pursue it.
When I was like I was like 19 or 20, a buddy of mine worked at like the country club and he was wearing out some doctor's wife like wearing, she was probably like 35.
I totally believe that.
And he was like 22, and he was wearing it out. And I was like, this guy's got life made. Like, this is the best thing that could ever happen to anyone. I was very, very jealous.
Like Loverboy. Like Patrick Dempsey and Loverboy.
Patrick Dempsey and Loverboy.
Exactly. Living the dream.
Yes. Back to Tarek and Christina. Yeah. I figured this out. She was concerned about a dry drowning situation. I saw another story on this. So she took the kid to emergency and was like, hey, my kid fell in the pool. I didn't want to make sure it's okay. And then the CPS is just automatically triggered, brought in to check things out.
So. Well, dry drowning is very dangerous and common, too.
Yeah, anybody that's seen that horrible Showtime show, The Affair, knows what you're talking about. One of the worst shows featuring McNulty from The Wire. Okay, what else is going on, Kate?
All right. The world was rid of a truly horrendous person recently, Roger Ailes.
Oh, huge piece of shit. Terrific.
Formerly the head of Fox News Network.
Real piece of shit.
Died. And his funeral was held Saturday. The event was attended by the likes of Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and of course, I can't talk today.
Of course.
Who's who of jerk off?
Of course, Ailes' family, including his 17-year-old son, Zachary, who delivered a eulogy at the ceremony, during which he took some time to threaten the women who accused his father of sexual harassment over the course of six decades.
Yeah. Two things. I'm conflicted here because he quoted Tombstone.
He vowed to clear his father's name. Good fucking luck.
Right?
And then dropped this line on everyone. I want all the people who betrayed my father to know that I'm coming after them and hell is coming with me.
That's pretty sweet. That's a pretty sweet line.
From Kurt Russell's Wyatt Earp in Tombstone, which is in the movie a death threat. And I'm pretty sure he means that.
He's like this doughy teenager,
as a death threat.
Yes. First of all, I'm conflicted here because there's two things going on. First of all, who lets a 17-year-old make a speech anywhere?
Right.
First problem.
That's worse than a maid of honor.
Agreed.
Yes.
Yes.
A doughy 17-year-old of a dead guy whose dick looked like hamburger meat, apparently.
That's right.
Despite being very dead, Roger Ailes is still the subject of several lawsuits and investigations stemming from numerous accusations of sexual assault.
I believe you have an open tab. Yo,
what is talking right now?
Sometimes videos just start playing. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that.
Why does that still happen?
I'll let you know when I want to play a video. Don't play shit for me.
Automatically play. But
what?
Yes, go on.
One thing I was going to say is, I get it. I've read the feedback. Not everybody feels how I do politically, but you cannot be on the side of Roger Ailes. He was a piece of shit in every way.
Yeah, he's a real turd.
He didn't do anything good for anybody. And
I would argue that Fox News has added to the downfall of society.
If you hate MSNBC, Roger Ailes was the reason for that. Like, it's the lack of discourse in this country. But anyway, he was a fucking lecherous piece of shit. And you should read Matt Taibbi's article because he just talks about what a shitty American he was.
Love Taibbi. He's one of my favorites.
I will say this. I am not in favor of any 17-year-old kid saying anything anywhere at any time, but I am very much in favor of all Tombstone quotes all the time. Like, if he would have just got up there and been like, skin that smoke wagon, see what happens, I'd have been like, yeah! I would have like jumped up in the back and just been like, keep going, like, do them all. I'm your Huckleberry. Like,
Michelle used to have a boss. Who would send out, like,
I don't know what's happening right now.
Michelle had a CEO, like, the CEO, her boss, would send out these emails like, all right, this is what we need to do for this quarter. And he'd close it with, what we do in life echoes in eternity. And Michelle's like, isn't that a weird closer? I was like, that's fucking Gladiator.
Yes.
He's writing, like, cheesy, like, Gladiator Ridley Scott lines. I mean, I love that movie, but
who doesn't?
Come on. Don't pass it off as your own quote.
No. That is the worst.
Super douchey.
Okay. What else is going on in the world of pop culture?
All right. I have some Johnny Depp news. I don't know. Did you know that he apparently, according to Ellen DeGeneres, he was on the Ellen show. She told him, "You do a great Trump." Apparently, he did a parody, a Funny or Die parody on the Art of the Deal, and where he played Donald Trump.
Johnny Depp did.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't seen the video, but...
Oh, Johnny Depp joins us now. Johnny, is it true? I've heard that you want to take over
Johnny.
When Alec Baldwin is done playing
yes.
Trump.
Yes. Is this true?
That is correct. Oh. I'm going to do a different kind of Trump who has... a lot of scarves and rings and bangle bracelets.
Really?
But if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to try some of my impressions on you.
Please,
just to practice.
Absolutely.
Sit down with Lorne Michaels.
Do we know if the South of France has an extradition treaty with the United States? Like, are we going to be okay over there? Yeah.
I'm hoping because I found a quaint little vineyard in south of France, and they have a La Quinta vineyard that
fantastic.
I would like to stay.
Oh, very nice. Okay, Johnny, let's hear some of your Trump impression, Johnny.
Okay, I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there, and she was married, and then all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got big phony tits and everything. I'm automatically attracted to beautiful women. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they'll let you do it. You can do anything. Grab them by the pussy. You can do anything.
Amazing.
My goodness.
I thought Donald Trump was in the room.
It's just like Trump, right?
Yes, it sounds exactly like him.
That is more Trump than
Trump.
How about
this one?
Okay, let's hear another Trump.
He trumped it.
Yes.
I know words. I have the best words.
Wow.
You know, Robert Pattinson should not take back Kristen Stewart. She cheated on him like a dog and will do it again. Just watch. He can do much better.
That was one of my favorite Trump tweets ever.
Amazing. I thought Trump was in the room.
I mean, is that
unbelievable?
Not?
Unbelievable. Such a good Trump impression, Johnny Depp. I hope you get a chance to do it.
Me too, Johnny.
Okay, Kate. What else is going on?
Roger Moore. He was my favorite.
We talked about this a bit earlier.
James Bond.
He was
and
the James
I think
Bond
it's
of
because
our childhood.
It was. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like, come on, Octopussy.
Yes.
Straight
that, the cool thing about Roger Moore movies is they really went back and forth. Like, Live and Let Die is just a fucking great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also did, like, the fun, bad, like, View to a Kill, where
a View to a Kill that had that Duran Duran theme song.
Yes.
That was, like, the Bond movie
of my... No, that's For Your Eyes Only.
The first Bond movie I ever saw.
No, it was View to a Kill.
Yeah.
It was awesome. But he made, like... awesome movies and awesome bad Bond movies too. Like he was awesome.
Agreed.
Yeah, and he wasn't as physically he didn't do all the crazy stunts and stuff as the other guys.
By View to a Kill. View to a Kill, he was like 57 or something.
A little beyond his prime. RIP Roger Moore.
He was 89.
Legend.
So he'd lived a long life.
Probably got much puss in his life.
Do you think?
Yeah, I would think so. Kate, what else is going on in world pop culture?
Well, lastly, there's a new judge for... So you guys know that American Idol is moving from Fox to ABC and being brought back to life.
I do know that.
Because it's a huge earnings raider. It does huge numbers.
I mean, it did, yeah.
It did.
So it was the biggest show on TV.
Right.
For
but did they?
Decade.
It's a very profitable franchise.
Yeah. It wasn't doing as well at the end, but because there were a bunch of these other karaoke shows,
The Voice,
right? Like The Voice,
The Voice,
X Factor, stuff like that.
I think there were others.
So they're bringing it back on ABC. Yeah. They've signed up Ryan Seacrest to host again.
Of course, he doesn't have many jobs,
and they've got new judge. $25 million a year.
Unbelievable.
Katy Perry.
Jesus. $25 million.
J-Lo's only getting $15 million. So she's really, she said no to 20 and yes now, to 25.
The weird thing is, I get why J-Lo's doing it, but isn't Katy Perry still like active and
I don't think J-Lo's doing it. I think J-Lo was doing it at the end
of its run. Yes, she was. I don't know who the new lineup is going to be.
I think the only person they have inked is Katy Perry.
They tried to get Kelly Clarkson. Like snooze fest.
Apparently, try to get her. Is she busy?
At the last minute, she jumped ship and went to NBC. She went to The Voice.
Did they?
And they also got Jennifer. Jennifer Hudson.
Did they leave a trail of eclairs?
So mean.
To the studio.
Just leave breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Is it or cupcakes?
She's been pregnant for a couple of years.
Oh, no, like the Reese's Pieces. Like they yes. got ET into the shit.
Right. Same idea, but instead,
that's so mean, you guys.
Instead, entire honey baked hams.
She's been pregnant for like 3 or 4 years. Let's leave Kelly alone.
Well, Boston cream pies.
Right. It's a little thicker. It's imagine getting $25 million and you show.
It's the easiest gig. It's like, on TV.
It's like 6 weeks of work, and you show up, and you're like, not too sure about that one. Okay, and then they're on to the next. Judge, like there's not, you don't have to really do anything. If you really need to say something, they'll tell you what to say.
Well, you have to argue with the other judges and be contentious.
Yeah, but you
don't.
And that's about it.
Doesn't America vote? You don't even have to make the decision,
yes,
right?
America votes.
That's right.
America votes.
So you just, you don't, you could say you love everything or hate everything. It doesn't matter.
And of all the people, Ryan Seacrest, I read that he was getting $15 million at the end of last American Idol. In his defense, that guy's got to work. He's got to fucking throw to
that's
everything.
That's a lot of work.
Introducing.
Yeah, like he's working.
He's the glue
whole time.
That holds the show together. I'm just gonna say those shows aren't for me.
Never watched one. Never watched one.
Not into it.
You're karaoke some songs. Whatever. I could give a fuck.
Me too.
Michelle watches. I think The Voice, and I hear it in the background. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a shitty version of a song I actually like, or a shitty version of a song I don't like.
It's all like people that I assume are just going to get a job doing this on a cruise, like singing karaoke songs like in the cruise showroom. Or it just reminds me of people from my high school that wanted to sing in the play and just sang through their nose. And I avoided it every chance I got. Yeah.
But it's just a barrage of people doing shitty versions of Superstition by Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, totally agree. Like, yes.
Hey. There was a great song. Let's see if I can make it shittier.
Yeah, totally. 100% with you on that. Kato, anything else?
Nope, that's my roundup of the world news for this week.
Excellent job.
Around the world.
Thanks for having me.
All the way around.
To fill everybody in.
Really.
On what's happening.
Really, really appreciate it. Yep.
Wait, did we get a final verdict? What is the guy supposed to do about the quantity of semen?
Yeah, that's a good question. Should he, Kate, how many times in your life have you had to sit down? And I'm not talking about your current relationship.
I don't know how it works. Like if you jerk off.
Yes.
If you don't jerk off, like it's not like it, like buckets of it get stored.
Well, that is a good, there is sort of a, so if you.
I mean, they tell you if you're trying to have a baby, don't. Right. Jerk off. Like there is something to it, but to a point.
But there's, because at some point, if you back up, well, what happens, and I know that there's scientific basis for this, if you don't ejaculate enough, what happens is the semen actually backs up into your brain and it starts to.
I've never heard this theory before.
It starts to cloud your judgment and you can't make decisions and.
You gotta get the poison out.
Yeah, you're a little on edge.
Brian pushes this theory a lot.
And what happens is someone.
Valid theory.
Someone needs to come along, and even if you don't want them to, you need someone to come along and actually drain the semen.
So gross.
From your dick and balls.
Right. Right. Hate to have to do it, but I have to right now.
Right.
Yeah. So, Kate. In your life, how many times have you had to sit down and just be like, Don, look, you're a really nice guy. Everything's going really great in this relationship. You've treated me very nicely, but
you're 18 milliliters short.
There's just one thing I can't get past. You just don't make enough cum.
I mean, everyone until I met you.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Excellent job all the way around. Great participation from the audience. Great job at Daily.
Good emails, voicemail.
Yes, great job, Kate McManus. For those people, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 170 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast.
We sound drunk.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.